pray. Let me just share with you a quick testimony. First of all, let me just pray. I feel like praying again. Father, we love you again. Thank you so much for the anointing. Thank you so much for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for freedom and joy that we experience here right now and we feel. And we know the chains of bondage are broken off of us. Father, I just speak to the addictions that are on this cross, Father. I've received several requests for those that are dealing with addictions. And I speak to them now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, be free of your addictions now. Let every chain be broken. And the Lord sets you free. And God, I thank you. I thank you for the blood of the Lamb that now is cascading freshly over these names and over these situations. Father, we have a horrific problem in our nation, Father God. It's an epidemic in our nation of witchcraft through medication and drug abuse. Father, and I thank you now that you're healing and you're setting people free in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you now, and we thank you for the anointing on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Just really felt that. But I got a quick testimony. Give me just a few minutes, and then I'm going to get into tonight's teaching. I got to tell you this because just the other day I contacted somebody that's in ministry. They have a prophetic website and provide a bunch of great articles and highlight various watchmen and prophets in America. In fact, they put our messages and words up on the website and allow that to get circulation. So that's always really good and very grateful for that. And I just felt led to reach out. And so I did. I made a phone call and just had a great conversation. And during that time, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to sow a seed into that ministry. And I was like, okay, no problem. You know, we believe in sowing in seed. Amen. If you want to receive, you got to give, you got to sow. The reason why the Dead Sea is the Dead Sea because it takes in, never gives out. A lot of people, if you're living a Dead Sea type of lifestyle, it's because you're not a giver. But anyway, so I gave on the behalf of the ministry to this particular ministry, and I get an email like maybe 4 or 5 days later because it takes a little while for a check to get there. And the person says, hey, I received your gift, but I got a problem. I don't receive donations because ever since I started the ministry, and as long as I'm working and the money's coming in from my job, I don't receive offerings. So I'm reading this. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know, people just do that. That's all right. And so as I got down further, he said, but I did sow it into this ministry over in Africa. So I'm like, oh, that's really cool. So then the email has a forward from this brother who's in Africa. And as I start reading, he says in the letter, he says, dear so-and-so, thank you for the seed. It's going to go towards building this Christian ministry center in Kilgali, Rwanda. And I just about fell out of my chair because in February of 2000, Jennifer and I went on our first mission trip to Kilgali, Rwanda. And, you know, we've been to 17 nations, ministered probably like 14 of those nations or so. And but that was the first place we ever went because the Lord told me in the first times we ever went on the missions, he sent us to 5 nations in 1 year. I mean, we were just traveling, doing the business for the Lord. But anyways, Kilgali, and I just was like, whoa. And what the deal and why it's so a great thing to us is while we were there, we were at the Fred Kunda Life Orphanage. This was about 6 years after the genocide of the Tutsis and the Hutus, when there was nearly, over 1 million people or so were massacred. And during that time, there was a lot of reconciliation going on in the country. Well, the highest-ranking military officer came to the place we were at to have a meeting with us. And as we were talking, he says, listen, we can give you any land that you want here in Rwanda because our president is in this season of ministry of reconciliation, trying to bring hope back to these people. And we were like, oh, we were so floored, but we were so small and so young. We didn't have the support to make it happen from America, and so we had to decline that. But Rwanda's always been in our heart. Well, fast forward, 17 years later, here's some seed going back into Rwanda, back into Kilgali to do something awesome for the Lord. And I am just totally pumped up by it. And I plan on sowing more seed and being a part of that, us as a church. And man, isn't that awesome how God just does stuff? Yeah, he is awesome, man. And I was almost in tears because, you know, if you ever travel the missions field and you're a true missionary, your heart stays there. It stays with the people. The images never leave your face. The smells never leave your life. It's, you know, if someone said, here's a ticket, you would leave that day. That's how much of a missions kind of person feels about the world. So, anyways, that was awesome. I just had to share that with you, and it segues probably into what we're going to teach tonight. But to pray for Rwanda, man. Just pray for the world. Pray for the world. Pray that we continue sowing seed into the nations of the world and sending missionaries and just staying in contact. Amen. All right, tonight's Kingdom Perspectives, we've been talking about prayer, and I really feel like I'm going to be in a saddle for a little while in this particular subject matter. We're going to be teaching on the prayer of intercession, and I really, really feel that right now. As I was preparing, by the way, welcome everybody listening on different media platforms. We love you and appreciate you. Love everybody that contacts us. We do pray for you, and we just appreciate you. But the prayer of intercession, like I said, I don't know how far I'm going to go with this, but we are going to be in it for a while, I feel, until there's an indelible mark in our hearts about intercession. I feel the weepiness even now for intercession. And if you're watching what's taking place in our country and you have even a bit of a heart, you should be feeling kind of weepy yourself for this nation. It's imploding. It's imploding. This government is imploding. This administration is imploding. Our societal, our society is imploding. And we really need to be people of prayer. So I believe this is kind of why God has me on this vein. So the prayer of intercession, let me give you a few quotes that the Lord gave me. The greatest gift you can offer to any person is prayer. The greatest gift you can offer to any person is prayer. Money only lasts a little while until you spend it. Is that right? Things only last a little while. You get a new present, something that's nice. You end up breaking it 6 months down the road. You get a brand new car. You pay till you're 80, and first day you get it, somebody scratches it, even though you parked on the 50-yard line way out like I do. I park so far away. Even if I have an old jalopy, I just park way far away from everybody because I don't want to add to my dings. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, everything that new one day gets old, okay? But the greatest gift you can offer to any person is prayer. Now listen to this. To stand before, and I'm going to clarify that, and that's why I'm saying this, to stand before an almighty God and to ask him to intervene on one's life is the greatest example of love, concern, and compassion for your fellow man. To stand before an almighty God and to ask him to intervene on one's life is the greatest example of love, concern, and compassion for your fellow man. Think about that with me real quick as I just expound a little bit from the first statement I made about being the greatest gift. You have the opportunity to stand before a God who has the ability to do anything and everything, to change anybody's life, to bring somebody out of sickness, poverty, death, drug addiction. You have the ability to stand before an almighty God who created heaven and earth, who knows every hair upon your head. Man, that is the greatest example of love and concern and compassion for your fellow man, to be able to intercede for them and to pray for them. It's more than money. It's more than clothes. It's more than anything that we could offer in the natural. Though the things in the natural are good and they do have an addition. You know, we can't just pray for somebody and say, okay, enjoy your night out in the cold. But the understanding of intercession is this, that's the greatest part of your life that you can give to somebody, is to intercede and pray for them. It's more than money. It's more than things like that. Write this down. Intercession is the ultimate. It's the ultimate example of Christ and the cross. Intercession is the ultimate example of Christ and the cross. Jesus interceded for us as he hung on that cross. Jesus intervened for us on that cross. Jesus made a way from the cross. And intercession does that. Intercession stands between judgment and the guilty. And says, Father, wait a minute. Come on, see this with me real quick. You're in a courtroom. The person is guilty. They're guilty of death. Nobody's arguing that they're innocent. Nobody. The evidence is overwhelming. They are guilty. These on the cross here at Ignited, you know, they're guilty of their sin as you and I are and as you and I were. But when we pray for these names and we lay our hands upon the cross, or you pray for somebody in your family, you are interceding. You are standing before the Almighty Judge of the universe, that within a moment, a twinkling of an eye, their lives can be changed, or their life can die. And you are intervening through powerful prayer and saying, God, wait a minute. Can I remind you of your word? And I'm going to tell you something. It's not that God needs to be reminded. He's looking for an intercessor. And I'll go into that more, much, much more deeper as we teach. But I want to lay this foundation for you. I want to put a hook in your jaw. I want some salt on your lips. I want you to become thirsty for this teaching, because this teaching is where the church is headed. We are headed into some serious intercession and travail like you've never seen. Come on, we're not talking potluck prayer groups. We're going back to cottage day prayers. We're going back to brush arbor times when people would really, really seek God with all of their heart. And they didn't care how long they stood at the altar. They didn't care about mascara running down. They didn't care about their hair pins flying off and just get in the presence of God and wailing and crying. It's coming. I'm telling you as I'm standing before you, and you can feel the spirit of the intercession right now on you. It is coming, and we're going to have to change into that wineskin and get ready for it. And it's hard for the church to do it because we're so used to Pop-Tart Christianity, microwave Christianity, where we just come in, we know what he's going to do. He's going to get done around a certain time, and then we're going to go. We're going to be in services where the Spirit of God is just going to lay heavy on us, because he's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He's looking for someone to intervene and say, stop. What I'm saying is, I'm not talking about prophetic events necessarily that are written. I'm just talking about specific events. They could be specialized events. They could be things that are coming against your family, coming against our neighborhood, coming against different aspects of society and life. So, man, I feel it pretty heavy up here. I don't know what you're feeling there, but I'm telling you, this is where the church is headed. Okay, so I'm going to be teaching on intercession, but I got to lay some foundations that the Holy Spirit wants me to show you. So I want you to go to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to lay some foundations for you. And these are just going to be beginning truths that will lead into more about intercession. Now remember, there is a lot of definitions and understanding about intercession. There's intercessory prayer, there's a spirit of intercession, there's supplication, there's so many avenues of it. Now, I told you from the beginning, I'm going to try to stay out of the cookie cutter theology of prayer and get you more into the intimacy of God and what he's saying in the hour and the time frame that we're living in. Is that all right? And then I can give you all kinds of theology and show you different aspects of prayer categorically and all that. But let's stay with where we are. So Genesis chapter 18. The first thing I want you to write down about this getting into intercession is covenant relationship. Covenant relationship opens the door for revelation and intercession. Covenant relationship opens the door for revelation and intercession. Now, let me be pretty frank and pretty open about it. Just make good sense of it. You know, when you're born again, you're in covenant with God. You're saved. You know, he made a promise to you through Jesus Christ and the shed blood of eternal life, names written in Lamb's book of life. You have that covenant relationship that God makes with you, and you accept it through saying, amen, I receive you, forgive me of my sins. But then there goes a deeper walk with God that goes into discipleship, It goes into relationship. It goes into friendship. And it goes into slavery, which, you know, we'll talk about all those as we go along, meaning that I'm a slave to you. I'm your bondservant. I love you with all my heart. I'm not going anywhere. I'm tattooed. It's done. It's sealed. I got all the markings. If I ran, I'd be captured and thrown back to you. You know, I've given my life up. How many of y'all feel that way as a bondservant? You know, you're not going anywhere. And so we can go into the deeper things of relationship, but covenant is this: when you start to become discipled and really start to work with and walk with God, you enter into a deeper covenant relationship with Him, and you take things more serious in your relationship with Him. And you know, this is not for the nominal Christian who just shuffles in and shuffles out, pays their tithe, maybe, you know, whatever, and is, you know, barely at church or whatever. This is for the person that says, "Man, I'm just sold out to you. I'm in covenant relationship with you. I want to go deeper. I want to go further with you, and I don't care what happens. I just love you." So let's establish that first. Covenant relationships opens the door for revelation and intercession. Okay. You want to go to the deep things of revelation and the deep things of intercession. You have to increase your covenant with God, meaning your relationship. So let's look at this, and I'll give you the foundation through Scripture. Genesis chapter 18, verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains," or in the oaks or the groves of Mamre, "and he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day." So this is Abraham, and he is in the oaks, or the plains, if you will, of Mamre. And he's set up in his tent. It's the heat of the day, so he's at the door. He's getting some fresh air. I kind of wrote on my notes, Abraham was chilling. For y'all, you city people or whoever, he was chilling. He was hanging out. "And he lifted up his eyes," verse 2, "and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Actually, the translation should be "stood before him." "And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground." First thing you have to see is that he ran. Abraham was 100 years old, but he ran. I am 40, none of your business, and the only time I run is when I hear the ice cream bowls getting ready in the kitchen. Because if I don't, I ain't getting none. Not good English, but true. But he was 100 years old, and he ran. Normally, in manners and customs, they would stand up at the doorway or make a lean-to, if you will, to acknowledge the visitors. But Abraham ran. Now, I'm saying this, I want to bring this out to you, because if you look in your scholarly books and you look at your commentaries and all that, they'll say and they teach that Abraham did not really know who these were. And I'm going to argue that in a different light because of the terminology that's used here. And I like to read the Bible in reality, not King James, not robotic. I like to look at it practical. Here's Abraham. He's at the tent, he sees these three men, and he runs to them. That sounds pretty good to me, that he was excited about who he just saw, and it wasn't in custom to run. Okay? So they came to the tent, and he runs to them, and then he bows down to them. Now, first you have to understand that whenever people came to visit these type of nomadic situations, Abraham, first of all, was very wealthy. So there wasn't one tent. Please get this out of your mind. He's at some state forest, and he's got one pop-up tent, and he's hanging out in front of a tree. He was like a sheik, very, very wealthy. And so his tent was different than everybody else's. And so when these three came, they looked for that tent. Listen, if I'm going to go to a multi-million dollar person's house, I'm not going to go to the gardener's house. Do you think we would know the difference between the big pillars in the big house and the gardener sitting over there smoking a cigar? I think you'd know the difference. You go to the big house, you go to talk to the big man. And so wrap your mind around this, that this was the intention of God to interact with Abraham, okay? And so they came, and he bowed down. Look at it again. And he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him or before him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground. He bowed towards them. I want you to write this down. Humility is the pathway to greatness in this kingdom. Humility is the pathway to greatness in this kingdom, the kingdom of God. Humility. He's the man. I mean, he has servants. He's got all kinds of stuff. He's wealthy. He's got an army. But why would he do such a thing? Well, again, I believe that Abraham knew something about his visitors that I'll get to in just a minute. But you need to see these things. Say, what does it have to do with intercession? Everything. Because all of these are building blocks to what Abraham ends up getting information about. And all of these are keys that unlock the intercession that's going to take place later on when I teach it to you. And some of you know the story, but we're going to go over it in much more intimacy. So he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself toward the ground and said, "My Lord, if I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." So he bows, and then he speaks to them, and he said, "Lord," Adonai is the Hebrew word. It can mean for men or for God. But I believe that Abraham had some inclination, some drawing in his spirit that he was about to be in the presence, or he was in the presence of God. Let me show you how I know that. Because just a couple of chapters before in Genesis 15, remember the voice of the Lord came to him. Remember God spoke to him. So Abraham had familiarity with the voice of the Lord. Watch this. When you've been touched by heaven, you'll never forget it. When you've had a real encounter with God, I don't mean your churchy, plastic, banana, fake religion where you shook the preacher's hand or you went out to eat with him. I'm not talking about that, man. I'm talking about when you have actually had heaven invade earth and touch you and fill you and surround you, whether it was in a service, in your car, in your home, you can be in your bathtub. It don't matter. The Holy Ghost comes anywhere he wants to go. You never forget that encounter. So as I'm teaching this, I'm trying to knock over some calves. I believe that Abraham was familiar with the presence of God. That's why you guys are here. That's why we're together. That's why we do what we do, because we will not take a counterfeit. Don't give me your counterfeit religion. Don't give me your counterfeit revival. Don't give me none of that stuff. Give me the raw, real God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Give me the pure, unadulterated truth, man. Don't try that, Dr. Wisecracker. Amen. I want the real, man. I don't want no knockoff. I want the real. How many of y'all feel the same way tonight? I mean, I want the real. I want God. I'm tired of man. I'm tired of man-made religion. I'm tired of fake church. I'm tired of religious meetings that nobody gets changed. I'm tired of it. Tired of hype. Woo. I can't wait to Saturday. Saturday night and Sunday morning, man. I'm looking forward to this conference. Whew. I haven't been here this evening. I am somewhere else with the Lord. So Abraham, he knew something, because go back to Genesis chapter 15 when you have time and look at him. He's had that experience. Again, it's something you'll never forget. All right, check this out. And then he said, "My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." I don't find those to be normal words. I find those words to be terms of endearment. I mean, if somebody comes by my place, you know, I'm glad they stopped by, but I don't think I'm going to beg them to hang out unless it's somebody of great value to me. If it, yeah, Mike says me, which is true. If you, you know, you do the same, and we love people, and, you know, you'd help anybody, I'm sure. You give them the shirt off of your back and different things. But there was something very special about this in the terminology, if you can agree with me by looking at this. Look, you don't need no scholar to mess you up in your understanding. Read the Bible, okay? That's why I always tell you, be careful of your commentaries. Commentaries are good. They give you historical truth, but let the Holy Spirit guide you. Verse 4. Let a little water, I pray, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. So Abraham's saying, why don't you just chill out and hang out a little bit, you know? Again, some of this is customs and manners of the day, but it gets a little more intimate. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts, after that you shall pass on. For therefore are you come to your servant, and they said, so do as thou hast said. So he says, look, I want to bless you with something before you go on. But notice what is said there at verse 5. So do as thou hast said. And I want you to see this, that the Father, watch this now, the Father loves to be blessed by you. Because as we get into the story, you're going to discover, sorry, who these two are. And you already kind of know. But I'll break it down a little more in just a minute. But I wrote that down because the Holy Spirit just put it in my heart. The Father loves to be blessed by you. He said, go do what you want to do. Go do what's in your heart. Go ahead and bless me. See, so many times we don't think, you know, God doesn't want to be blessed. He wants to be blessed. He wants to receive. He loves to receive from you. He loves when you bless him. He loves when you praise him. He loves when you worship him. He loves when you give him attention. He loves when you hang up that stupid phone and pick up his phone and contact him. He loves attention. Watch verse 6. And Abraham hastened. Now please write, underline that in your Bible. Hastened. You need to go back to verse 1 or verse 2 where he ran. Verse 6, and Abraham hastened. Don't just read the Bible and pass up things. Read it. Study it. He hastened. What's going on with Abraham? Again, he's 100 years old. Now, I know age was different in that hour and abilities were different in that hour, but come on for a second. I don't know too many people at 100 that are hastened for anything. Don't look at your neighbor, but it's hard enough to get a young whippersnapper wife to do something, or husband. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Honey-do list is about as long as the football field and still ain't got any of it done. So put your mind into the thing. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready slowly. No, quickly. What is going on here? These guys were just to be chilling underneath the tree. He's going to go get some bread, you know, some Wonder Bread or some whatever bread. And they were just going, but he was hastening. He tells her to quickly, 3 measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes unto the hearth. In other words, honey, get in there and bake some biscuits and flapjacks. Hurry. There was something about him needing to get back to these visitors. Whew, I'm telling you, man, when you get a touch from heaven, you want to get back to that spot again. When you've been touched in revival and you've been touched in a move of God, you want to get back to that place. I want to get back to the place where the glory just radiates, man. And I know it ebbs and flows, and I understand seasons and the way that works. But I'm telling you, I'm hungry right now for the glory of God. Just to settle down. All right. I'm ready for some of that angel bread. Amen. And Abraham, verse 7, he ran. Are y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading?
And he ran. He didn't walk. He didn't get a walker. He didn't get in his little scooter. He ran. Listen, I'm bringing this out because so many people, when they go to serve the Lord, they do it on their time and their way, and they're lazy about it. And they do it in church. Well, you ought to be glad I showed up, Pastor. I surrender 1/5. No, I surrender all. And their life is in granny gear, and their life is in neutral, and there's no passion. There's no enthusiasm for the house of God. There's no love for God. There's no passion. Now, I'm not talking to anybody in this church. Just talking about somebody you may know. Isn't it true, though? But he hastened. He was the man. He was the chief, if you will, of his entire family and armies and cattle and gold and all kinds of land and property. He was the man. But he knew something was up about this visitation, and he didn't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it either. There's something about this lifetime right now. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to go back to the 40s and the 50s and the revival back then. I don't want to go back to any other day. I want to be right here because there's something God is about to do. Woo, we are born for this day. So Abraham ran into the herd, and he fetched a calf tender and good and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. So he ran over there and he got a calf. He brought it over to the boy, and I guarantee, he said, boy, you better get this done and get it done right now. Because what did it say? The boy hastened. Again, when's the last time we hastened to the presence of God? Or we hastened to serve him? That when he asks something from us, we respond quickly. Some of y'all have never been in homes where servants serve people their food, but I've been in homes where servants took care of the master of the home. And I'm going to tell you something. It's like the wisdom of Solomon. It's like the glory of Solomon to watch people serve in unison and serve in order and serve with excellence. It happened to me when I was in Africa. In Africa, it was an amazing experience. I like watching you guys when you serve. I feel that same spirit of excellence in this house when you guys give and you help. I don't know why I just said that, but I'm telling you, there's so many lazy, sloppy, slothful Christians. It's just amazing. And you wonder why God doesn't do anything in our churches. Well, I don't know who needed to hear that, but it's the truth. We need to start serving him with excellence. How may I serve you, your majesty? So what do you want, bub? What can I get you, bub? Or what's in it for me? All right. Church is going to change. Watch. And Abraham ran into the herd, and he fetched a calf, tender and good, and he gave it to the young man, and he hastened to dress it. Now, let me give you something for understanding and customs and manners. It was normally when a guest would come that they would bring them lamb or goat. But when someone came of a higher rank, a greater superiority than just somebody traveling, you went and you grabbed calf. You got the beef. Come on, somebody. I mean, I know I'm a preacher. When I go to your house, I'm supposed to get chicken, but I'd like some ribeye once in a while. That wasn't even subliminal. That was just like right out there, wasn't it? Come on now. I always tell people when they come to my house, my wife always makes special meals that they get and I never get to get until somebody special comes in the house. You know what I'm talking about. But this is amazing here. This is amazing because if you read your scholars and your commentaries, this is just, you know, a normal day. This isn't a normal day. Something significant is going to happen in Abraham's life. Something huge is going to take place. And he knows it. He feels it. He senses something is going to take place. And he's preparing covenant meal. He's preparing something that's above the normal. He's not making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. As much as you love them, I know. But he's doing something bigger than that because he knows he's in the presence of majesty.
Maybe that's the problem with the church. We don't know we're in the presence of majesty, and so we don't serve him like we should. But if we would know the God of the Bible, we'd serve him like Abraham's doing it right now. Now watch this. And he took butter and milk. He took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. Now, first of all, that wasn't kosher. But this was before kosher dietary laws, Leviticus, and different things. But it still wasn't kosher. And there's rabbis, I've done all the study, they'll argue about it and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But the fact was he mixed it and it wasn't kosher. And he took butter and milk and the calf when he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by under the tree and they did eat. They did eat. They ate what was before them, didn't they? They received the gift from Abraham. And he stood by them. Notice that he didn't try to sit down and muscle his way in to get a piece of that ribeye. He stood by and watched them, because that's the way it was in customs and manners. You would stand up and with joy let everybody just pig out and enjoy themselves. If you've ever been around somebody from the Middle Eastern custom, and my stepmother was that way. She was from Armenia and raised in Jerusalem, and that's the way she was. She would cook all kinds of food, just all kinds of recipes from the Middle East, and it was big old bowls of food, and she would just sit back and watch everybody eat. And she'd say, "Are you hungry?" And she'd say, "No, I just go ahead." She talked like that. Go ahead. Remember Esther? That's a great custom. That's a great thing. But I like that because Abraham didn't try to get in there and get a piece. I think there's a lot to that with humility. That when it's an offering we give to the Lord, leave it alone. Give it to him and say, "Father, I freely give this to you." That's why when you give your tithe and your offerings, you're supposed to just give it and let it go and just say, "Father, I bless you. I ain't worried about it. I love you, and it's for you." Okay? That's why we shouldn't worship trying to get something from him. All right, that's manipulation. All right. Oh, I love this because this is just getting us ready for this. And watch this. And he gave it to him, and they did eat. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah, thy wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." Now, we have no history at all whether he told them the name of his wife. Maybe he did and maybe he didn't. Do you see it? But they spoke and said, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And verse 10, but notice that after the covenant meal, after the humility, after the hastening, after the spirit of excellence, all of a sudden the prophetic opened up. All of a sudden something shifted on the behalf of Abraham. "Well, it was already pre-ordered." Listen. You have to read it the way it's written and understand the situation in which Abraham was in, and how that he opened his heart to these visitors, knowing that God was involved with this, and that opened the door for the prophetic. See, so many times people they throw away reality and they throw away revelation, and you can't do that. You got to look at this thing. God chose this moment to be with Abraham, and Abraham did it right. I wonder how many times God came to visit you and I, and we didn't do it right. I really wonder how many times God came to a service and said, "I'm just going to blow them away today," and then, you know, people just miss it. They miss the blessing. I know it's true, because people do. They miss it in the worship. They miss it in the offering time. They miss their opportunity for God to do something because you don't discern right. You don't judge right. You're looking for a feeling rather than a visitation, a reality. And Abraham saw. Remember, they didn't say anything to him. The first thing he did was he saw them and he ran. Whew, I'm going to tell you something. He had discernment already. Boy, how many things we all miss by not seeing it in God. We don't see the visitation. We don't see the church we're in. We don't see what we have. We don't see the giftings that God has given us, and we miss it. And that's not just, I'm not alluding to up here. I'm talking about each other. in the moment of our time. That's why you guys are so awesome, and I'm so grateful that we're together, because God put us together for such a time as this. Hey, we didn't start with the best and the biggest and the baddest, and we don't have that now, but we're not worried about that, because God's going to take care of us, man. He's going to bless us. And like I said Sunday, man, you're the kind of people that will, with me, praise the Lord with holes in your shoes, holes in your socks, holes in the roof. Come on, somebody. And that's the kind of people God's looking for, people who love him with all their heart. Oh, man, I wish it were Saturday already. Are you seeing this with me? I feel like I'm all out in the field. You got me. Okay, I knew you did. So watch this. And he said, verse 10. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. This is the dialogue of covenant that he made with Abraham before. He said, I'm going to bless you. You think Abraham figured it out by now? He figured it out in verse 1. Like I said, scholars will mess you up, and you'll miss all this good stuff. Again, what does this have to do with intercession? Everything. Covenant relationships opens the door for revelation and intercession. It opens up the prophetic. Man, you need to go back and listen to Sunday morning's prophetic word. You just need to. Those listening to me tonight on various media platforms, you didn't get a chance to watch it live. You have to go back to the live archive and hear that, man. That is a powerful, powerful word. And Cindy dictated it and put it all on paper, and I'll get it together, and we'll put it on the back bulletin board. You need to read it again. I read it in my office and about fell out of my chair. Whew. Man. You see, but why? Why is that? Why did that word come? Why, you know, is it applied to this church? Because we're people of covenant. We desire God. We want more of him. We hunger. We thirst after him. We're willing to get out of his way and let him eat. Okay, let me go on. Just a couple more verses. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. Well, he was 100 and she was 90. That's a little old. Just a bit. And well stricken in age. Thanks a lot, Father. Look what he said. Now, Abraham and Sarah are old and well stricken in age. Thanks. You're not only old, you're real old. Doesn't the Father have a sense of humor? You're not chubby. You're really chubby. And it's... You know, never put you in a position where your wife says, does this look big on me or small? You remember that commercial with Abraham Lincoln? Y'all don't remember that Geico commercial? He had to be honest, Abe. She says, does this make me? He said, well. Anyways. So he was well stricken. That's all you can say is well. Well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of a woman. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, I have pleasured my Lord being old also. I mean, she's just like, really? I'm 90. Nothing's staying up like it used to. The double chin exercise, that ain't working. There are no such thing as Botox or Tebow or Tybo. Really? Lord, can you look at me? Have you seen me in a bikini lately? Let's just be real here. She's talking about nature. She is. She's saying, I can't do it, let alone carry a bowling ball. So she laughed about that. How many of y'all ever laughed at the promises of God and just thought, what? Really? Me? Are you serious? That's what Pastor Jennifer did when I asked her to marry. She's like, really? Really? What am I, the welfare department? Are you kidding me? I got enough troubles paying my bills, bub. Let alone picking you up as a hitchhiker. Get in the back. I'll drop you off at the Y. And don't say amen, nobody.
So she laughed within herself. She said, I'm old. I can't do this.
But I want you to see something. There's two things I want you to see, and I'm going to close. Number one, there's a laughter of faith, and then there's a laughter of doubt. There's a laughter of faith that says, come on, God, go ahead. Bless. Go ahead and do what you want to do. I'll just do it. And then there's the laughter of doubt that Sarah had because she looked at her natural conditions and she thought, there's no way this can happen. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, I shall of a surety bear a child which am old. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And she said, he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You know, God knows everything. He knows everything about us. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And I'm going to stop right there. We know the visitors, one of them was a theophany, which was God showing himself in human form. I've taught about a theophany in this class and a Christophany. I say class, yeah, I feel like I'm an ISM, but I've taught that in ISM as well. And these are manifestations of God in Christ in human form and human vestige. It's very amazing studies. And then the two angels, the two other men were angels. So I'm bringing you to this revelation that if we're going to move into the prophetic and move into revelation and move into intercession, we've got to go deeper in our covenant relationship. We've got to get more of the spirit of excellence on our worship and our life and our pursuit of God and pick it up another notch. Because when we do, we're going to see miracles take place. That moment that Abraham had to serve God brought the prophetic out and a reminder of the covenant that he made. And that is a very powerful truth. And we're going to see later on how it leads into intercession. But I wanted to give this to you from the get-go. It all begins with humility. It all begins with humility. And we got to humble ourselves because our country, again, is in big trouble, as you know. And we're going to have to pray for our brothers and sisters. We're going to have to pray for the races. We're going to have to pray for people in different social classes. We're going to have to pray for people in different locations. And you can't have any schism or ism in your heart. You've got to have a heart of humility and purity and say, God, I pray. I pray for my brothers and my sisters. Heavenly Father delivered your message tonight about intercession, and I'm asking for the spirit of intercession to fall upon this house, God, like a garment, like a mantle, because I know intercession always precedes revival. It always precedes birth, and we need midwives in America today. Father, I'm not looking to make a country great again politically or even economically. I believe you're looking for a country to be great in you again, where souls will be born again, where nations will be birthed in a day. For we're in the time of great trouble. We're in the time of great testing and great shaking, and you need intercessors to pray for safe passage of those that are coming out of harm. Father, I pray for this church, Ignited, and everybody listening to me and everybody associated with this church, that the spirit of intercession would rest upon them as a garment. Come on, just worship a minute. Vradishk bando samarita ikure makoko sikate dishk brosande bekete vando risi randari tusitan moshke vando rusikando tatesse baraboshkinge kando rotose nanaye leleboshko to ingvrose ta ivande lobushko letondari sitedenne reluka risi kolemarie vando vri dirish Oh, God. Come on, worship Him. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him. Come on, church, worship Him. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on. You're giving birth to something. Lelo momo shingore de bo shingore ske baba se de bo shkondro frando re mesin de atos kimini di te borobo se baba se tindrish kitende de na mo shandri lebroso rimase tiski tendoro bo sando re bo shatra se la mama mase lineni di akote nanane ke sitre come on something's birthing tela momo mo shikote de di asandre brondo rosso teski tandare di asotro Brandere bosco tre di assondare le mocosotro. E cari mosotro. Yerenene che si cadere bosotro. Come on. Come on, get ready. Come on, there's a new army rising up. There's a new army rising up. Come on, there's a new army rising up in the church. Get a boschi, tell le mocandere, but there is kitre, lo bosotro. Fearless warriors. Come on, fearless warriors. The rising up. Fearless warriors. Salamos and de kisite. Kanana kisite. Nanamoshanda. Yeah. Ramosh kandereski. De siti diskitandara la masho. Kandere kete. Ramakodro. Kengarete. Nanamosh kandri. Brishki bishki bamba bandri. Baraboshki teriri asatra. Haraboshkutru. Harabosutru. Yes. 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 Halabosh sikore masatre. Yes, go ahead. Sitalabosh kandere di asatra. Singore de le boshon doresi barabasotro. Bronde de reski barabosh kotere di asotare di asotro. Kendere di aso barabashu kotere di asotare la la moshondro. Come on. Yes, yes, yes. Kenamosh singore di basatra. Come on. The Father's going to send prayer warriors and intercessors to these protesting marches. God is going to send people of faith, people with the fire of God, the people with the answers of God. Father, raise them up in this last hour. Raise them up today that it will confront the works of evil. Yes, God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Are you still recording this? Yes, yes, yes. That's what I want. That's what I want. Come on now. We got the victory. We've got the victory. Come on. We've got the victory in Jesus' name. We're going to give birth to this thing. We're going to give birth to this mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We're going to give birth to this mighty move of the Holy Ghost. We're going to give birth regardless of what's going on in our nation, regardless of the sin, regardless of the backlash of sin. God has called us to give birth. God has called us to intercede, to intervene in situations. Father, we thank you. Send forth your warriors. Send forth your warriors to these places of disruption. Send forth your warriors to these places of corruption.
Oh, God, we love you. Cover this house with intercessory prayer, Father. Cover our homes with intercessory prayer. And let us be those prayer warriors, Father, that you have called and longed for in this last days. I thank you for it. I love you for it, Father. I love you for it, Jesus. Thank you for the midwives of this house. Thank you for the midwives of this house. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. And we continue this. We don't end it here. We continue this in our home and our walk with you. Father, let your spirit fall upon these meetings with Michael Snyder, Lord God, and myself and this congregation. Leave an indelible mark on Northeast Georgia. And let it circumnavigate the entire world, Father, through media. We love you, Jesus. You will have the last word in this nation. You will. And that last word is revival. And souls of men being brought to the cross of Calvary. Let it be so in our generation. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can continue praying if you feel led. I love you. I'll see you Sunday. I'll see you. When am I going to see you? I'm going to see you someday soon. I'm going to see you Saturday. Please pray for these services.